boat goes like this, that means so does the stomachs. All the plates in the restaurant went flying, and people were leaning over the chairs, and I thought enough of this, so I went outside, and outside on everyone was leaning over the rails. Later, a year or so later, I noticed in the news that that same ferry went down. Somebody had forgot to shut a window or something, and it went down. But storms is something that we all are going to experience. It's part of being a disciple, is to experiencing storms. James in chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy when you encounter difficulties or trials of all kinds, because it grows perseverance, and perseverance, when it goes to fulfillment, it matures you. And it is something of trials grows your faith. It stops being shallow, it becomes deeper and deeper. As you face trials and you overcome it with God, you recognize who He is. I just want to say, I really find this story funny. First of all, I want to say thank you for coming, and thank you for being online. I just want to say thank you for friends. You know, Chris Baker is here, and she was around her table many years ago. I heard for the very first time the gospel. So there are storms caused by human sin. Anyway, and there's storms caused by Satan, and there's storms caused by God. And some of you are looking at me, what? Okay, let me give you some illustrations. Samson lusted for a prostitute called Delilah, remember, in Judges? And he laid with her, and she betrayed him, and that cost him his life. And so that storm was his own sinfulness. Now there's a guy called Jonah. Another, I think, very funny story. Because Jonah heard from God that he was to go to Nineveh to warn them about his judgment. And Jonah didn't want to go. So he went the opposite direction. And he went in a boat. He went to Joppa and he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. Tarshish is the opposite direction of Nineveh. And so that he could get where he needed to be, where God wanted him to be, God sent a storm. And again, the boat rolled around and they got afraid, they got full of fear, and so they pulled lots to see who had sinned against God. And the lot fell on Jonah. And they said, what have you done, Jonah? And he told them that he had rebelled against God. How many here has ever rebelled against God? Two hands came up. Honestly, I find that sometimes, you know, they told me I couldn't drive anymore. They took my license away. And the first thought that came to me, no, you're not. I'm going to drive. There was that rebellious thing in all of us, I think. And anyway, a storm came up, and they got scared, and they drew lots, and Jonah fell on Jonah. So Jonah said, throw me in the sea. So they did, and a storm calmed down. And then God found a way to bring a whale. Well, we don't really know if it's a whale, but big enough fish to swallow him up. And then he decided this was not a good thing. That's what storm does. It gets your attention that maybe this is not a good thing. So he repented, and God got the big whale to burp, and it burped him up on the shore. And I don't know about you, but I can just see two guys sitting there with a case of beer and fishing rod, saying, looking at this Jonah and saying, did you see that? Did we have too much beer? He smells of fish. And then he said, ask him, you know, what are you doing here? We're going to warn Nineveh of God's judgment. And they can see them saying, well, you better go and have a shower first. Anyway, when I was 19 years old, God left me on the shore of Canada. I landed in Toronto. Could speak English and didn't know whether I had to pick up my suitcase or not. And some poor soul saw my confusion and decided to help me out. And I realized I didn't have to pick up my suitcase. Went into the immigration offices and they said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm studying agriculture, which was a lie, but. He said, how much money do you got in your pocket? I said, I got $100. He said, you're going to study agriculture with $100 in your pocket? No. I said, my mother's going to send me some money, which was a lie too. I have repented since then. So, finally, they put me on a plane to Regina, came to Regina, and I had no idea how to get into the Greyhound bus. A taxi driver pulled up and he said, do you speak German? And I said, a little bit. And honestly, it was very little bit, but it was better than English. He said, where do we need to go? I said, I need to go to the Greyhound. He said, well, I'll take you. He took me to the Greyhound bus, walked in and said to the lady at the counter, be sure this guy gets on the bus to Maple Creek. And be sure that the bus driver knows where to send him off. So I got on the bus at 4 o'clock in the morning. I landed out of the junction. I was supposed to phone Janet's parents. And I had no idea how to corroborate that phone booth. I looked at that and it looked like it was written in English and I'd never seen anything like it, honestly. So I didn't pray because I didn't know Jesus. But then a truck driver pulled in and he said, spoke German to me and said, what's your problem? I need to go on this ranch. I need a phone and I don't know how to operate this phone. He said, well, in the morning I'll wake up, I'm going to have a shower and I'll phone for you. So in the morning he dialed Janet's parents and Janet's dad came in with a cowboy hat. I'd never seen a guy with a straw hat like that. In a red pickup truck. He picked me up, and he didn't understand a word of what I was saying, and I didn't understand a word of what he was saying. He drove to Maple Creek, picked up the mail, went out to the ranch, and Janice's brother said, do you want to sleep, or do you want to haul bales? So I said, I want to haul bales. And we hauled on bales and bales and bales, and then they fed me pancakes. I'd never seen pancakes like that in my life. Anyway, to make a long story short, I found my wife at the ranch. And God began to knock on my door. And a year ago, I went through a storm. In fact, 1 year ago, I was tied to a wheelchair with two belts around me. And the reason for two belts was because one day I tried to dive from the wheelchair into the bed. And I slid off the bed onto the floor. The most helpless feeling. So they said, you can't do that, Hans. You cannot do that. So they built me in. Anyway, I just want to say, there's times when God does bring storms to bring us to where we need to be. And if you remember the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 14, Moses has led the Hebrews out of captivity to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh changed his mind and he sent his armies after them. And they got afraid. They looked at the army and knew that they was going to die. Let me say this too about storms. One thing is when the storm is outside, another thing is when the storm moves inside. When the storm moves inside, then you become anxious and fearful. And that's exactly what happened here. And they began to cry out and began to blame Moses for taking them into the desert. And then Moses calls upon God and he says, let's go down a little further. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by the. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were. Can we go a little further? Anyway, in the end, Moses saying, he's saying, just be still and you will see how God is going to deliver you today. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, so the Israelites camped there as they were told. So let me just share this story too about the picture. The picture of them being in the disciples are actually, where are they? They are in the boat. They are where they need to be. They are where Jesus is. And they're going where Jesus tells them to go. So it's not their disobedience. They are actually at the center of his will. But in the midst of the storm, they get afraid. He sees hardened sailors getting afraid. And this is where I think it's very funny. Because Jesus is sleeping. And I don't know, maybe he slept with a half an eye open, you know, like parents do. When the kids are in trouble, they have a little, they sleep, but they have a little eye open just to see what's going on. I can see Jesus sleeping and with an eye half open, watching how are the disciples going to react. And he sees that they're losing their peace. And sure enough, they look around and they're like, oh, hey, Jesus is here. We just saw him heal. We have seen him doing all these miracles. Maybe we should wake him up. Maybe he can do something about this. I think that's funny. Do you know that if you are born again, Jesus is in your boat? And there's plenty of reason to be fearful. Just look at the news. There's a new variant out there. There's floods, there's drought, there's shortage of food, there's panic wherever you look. And so there's lots of reason to be fearful. But look around in your boat, there's Jesus. Wake him up. And so they wake him up. Jesus, don't you care that we are drowning? See, the same story is repeated in Mark 5 and in Luke chapter 9 as well. And in one of those stories, they say, don't you care, Jesus, that we are drowning? It's like, sometimes it feels like when you're in the midst of a storm that God doesn't care. But he does care. And he has authority. Jesus stands up in the boat and he says to the wind and the waves, be still. And the storm calms down, right down. Now, they stand in awe and says, wow, What kind of man is this who can still the storm, still the wind and the waves? Who is he? And see, that's the point. He is demonstrating to them that he is God. But Jesus says, you have little faith. Why didn't you trust me? And my friends, I can say this to many Christians today as well, in the midst of this pandemic. Where is your faith? You have little faith. Why have you lost your peace? Look in your boat. There is a God with you. So here's what I believe. Why was there a storm there? Because they were heading over to the other side, and there were two demon-possessed men. And they're coming over there to deliver them. So I believe Satan wants to stop Jesus from coming. I believe it's a spiritual warfare. And you see, when it comes to spiritual warfare, you need to have faith to stand up against it. When it comes to a storm caused by your own sin, you need to repent. When it comes to a storm caused by God, there's repentance and there's faith. But when it comes to coming against Satan, it says in James chapter 4, verse 17, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many has heard that scripture? So there's a time when if it's a demonic fight where you need to stand up and say no. So I was in the hospital in Medicine Hat. And I was in the storm. When you're in the storm, you don't know the end from the beginning. So the doctor couldn't find a pulse. The nurses couldn't find a pulse, and they had a heart machine, and there was no sign of a heartbeat. Now, I don't know what went on because I wasn't conscious, but my wife told me, see, sorry. But you knew how to fight. So she knelt down, put her hand on my chest, and said, come back. And I opened my eyes. And I looked in the eyes of the doctors and nurses and my smiling wife. And I just said, but I want to say this, during this period of time, over the last year, there was a time when I felt Satan was in my room. And he said, I'm coming to get you. You see, the Bible says he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And how did he destroy? He takes your peace. He takes your faith. And this is my response, because I learned to fight. I said, no, you're not. I was going to say, you know what I'm going to do this to my dead body. But I thought, and I want to say, I appreciate the prayers of the saints. I said, no, you're not taking me. I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm bought by his blood. You have no permission to take me. So get lost. And you got lost. There's been other attempts since on my life. But I believed. I really believed he wanted to quiet me. He wanted to silence me. I was stepping on his toes and didn't like it. But that was not God's plan. He's not done with me yet. And so Jesus says, you have little faith. So where do I find my faith? I find it from his promises. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll carry you with my righteous right hand. And many of those promises came to me in the midst of this battle. Thank you, Jesus, that you are still in my boat. You know, when Paul was 6 years old, we took him to violin lessons in Medicine Hat. And if you've ever taken a kid to a violin lesson, it doesn't sound good. So he had to do practice coming home. He had to do exercises. How many has taken piano lessons? Or, you know, you have to practice. So Paul had to practice. And it was squeak, squeak. So I said, Paul, I'll play chess with you if you'll practice for half an hour. So he said, okay. So I taught him how to play chess, and we played chess together. Now, if you ever played chess, how many of us ever played chess? The whole game consists of cornering the king of your position and make it so that the king has no more moves. And when he does that, you say, checkmate. And you. So I understand that every year there is a game in Europe where they play to see who's going to be the grandmaster of chess. And I heard the story that one day there's a picture behind this famous game where you see two people playing, and the name of the picture is Chessmate, Checkmate. And the grandmaster stood up in the middle of his game and said, "That's the artist got that wrong. The guy has one more move. It's not checkmate. He got that wrong." And what I was trying to say is this. Sometimes Satan comes and he whispers in your ears, checkmate. But God says, I have one move. And you see that all the way through the Bible. When they wanted to kill the Hebrews, God said, there's one more move to Moses. And he opened the sea and to Jonah. When he thought he was gone, and then Satan whispered in his ears, I got you, Jonah, you're going to be dead. God said, no, I have one more move. And my friends, he has one more move. He knows this pandemic, he knows this variant, and he knows he has a plan. My friends, it's not a surprise to God. So what I'm saying is, God always gives us two choices. It's either fear or faith. And you can choose fear if you want, but it's a miserable life. Because the boat will always be rolling, and your stomach will always be oozy. But if you have faith, God will stand up with you and say, be still to the storm. And Jesus knew the disciples were going to end up in the greatest storm they ever had experienced when he was crucified. So he prepared them. In John 14, verse 1, he says, do not lose your heart, but trust God and trust also in me. I think I have it there somewhere. John 14. He also says in John 14, okay, so there's in John 14, 2, he says, I have a gift for you. Did you see that there for that time? I have a gift for you. I leave you my peace I give it unto you. Here on earth you have many trials and sorrows. How many knows that's true? But take heart, because I have overcome the world. And in John 16, he leaves the same there with them. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. So how could somebody sleep in the midst of a storm? Because they have peace. How can you have authority over the storm? Because you come from a place of peace. So the trials and the struggles, my friends, is to have a peace within you. And it's a peace that imparted to you by God, by Jesus. And in Philippians chapter 4, you know the scriptures, many of you have memorized it. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. Be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will do what? Keep your heart and your mind, yes. Colossians 3:15. Above all else, close yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Always be what? How many things? That's a good thing. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. How many loves worship? Just lifting up his name. So I just shared about the peace that Jesus had in the storm that allowed him to stand up and calm the storm. And it's the same peace that's given to us. If we fix our eyes off the world and onto his promises, we can have the same peace. But if you fix your eyes upon the storm, you will live in fear. And I honestly, I've never seen so much fear in my life as a pastor as I have over the last few years. And these are Christians. And I'm saying, Jesus is in your boat. Wake him up. How do we wake him up? By meditating upon what he says. Hello, welcome. God is knocking on the door. I can honestly say that scriptures came to me as I was laying in the hospital bed, and I declared them many times. And when I did, it lifted my spirit. Got phone calls from people who prayed for me, and it lifted my spirit. And all these things, God intended for us to be together as a church to do what? To encourage one another, to lift one another up. And so who is trying to silence us? It's not God. And we need to overcome our fears and say, let's get together and worship in spirit and truth and pray for one another. Have you become overcomers? And when they landed on the other side, there were 14 cities that were Gentile cities. And there were two men who were demon-possessed, And what did Jesus do? They pleaded with him. They argued with him. Jesus, have you come to torture us before the time? They knew what was coming. They knew that Satan and the demons were going to be kicked into the pit. So they said, have you come to torture us? Send us into those pigs. So Jesus said, go. And so they left him and sent him to the pigs. I still for sure don't know why pigs, but pigs was unclean animals to the Jews. And demonic spirits cannot exist outside of our body. So either the human body or, in this case, animal bodies. But Jesus set him free. And it says in Mark that they were chained because it was so violent. But chains came off, my friends. And I believe that God can set you free from fear and let chains come off. Because that's his business, to redeem people and set people free. And I was ministering frequently to the Healing Lost ladies, and most of them also lived in fear. Fear of what addictions could do to them. I was going to say, congratulations, Stan. Stan was telling me this morning that 45 years ago, he had his last drink. How about we give him a clap? So I had my last smoke. But it was because of my wife. She didn't like smoking, so. Anyway, we're going to end it with a hymn called Amazing Grace. John Newton has gone through many storms in his life, and out of that came this hymn called Amazing Grace. And I wanted to pray for people, so the altar will be open if anybody wants to come. And pray for people.